All right, well, we've been studying Psalm 91 for the last several weeks. The context that we've been looking at under Psalm 91 has been divine protection. And as I've said these last several weeks, the timing for this has been very good because the very first Sunday that we started this teaching was the Sunday after the Las Vegas shooting where how many people were killed in that? It was a bunch. It was 40-something people that got killed in that and, what, over 500 injured. Is that correct? Now, by the way, did you know that since that shooting, get this, that since that shooting, there has been over 800 more Americans that have died by gunshot wounds, that have been murdered. Not just the accidents, but have been murdered through guns. Now, I'm not suggesting that, you know, guns are evil. The people that use them to perpetrate these sorts of things are evil. I mean, a gun is like a kitchen knife. You can use it for evil, you can use it for good. So I'm not making a political statement about guns. My statement is this: we live in a dangerous world. We live in a dangerous world, and there's all kinds of different ways that people can die or get maimed and what have you. And we need to be familiar with the promises of God regarding His desire to protect us so that we don't just walk around in fear all the time, because that's not God's will for you. You just walk around in fear all the time. There are promises in the Scriptures regarding God's divine protection. Now, we've looked at Psalm 91 for the last 4 weeks, and now today I'm not going to read Psalm 91, but I am going to read a related passage in the book of Proverbs chapter 3. So that's going to be our master text this morning, Proverbs chapter 3. So would you turn there with me, Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 21 through 26. And when you find Proverbs chapter 3, would you stand up with me one more time and let's honor the reading of the Word. We take the Word very seriously here. We honor it and stand when we read it. So it says this: "My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared." And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat if you would. Now, I'm going to illuminate upon that passage just a little bit, but not yet. What I first want to do is back up and look at Psalm 91 and one verse out of that, just as a way to kind of remind us as to where we've been and to kind of set the stage for where we're going in this teaching. So with that in mind then, let's look at Psalm 91, verse 14, and just analyze that one more time, because I think it's a very, very important point to remind us of throughout this entire series. So it says this: "I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name." Now that's a great promise, isn't it? I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. Now let's dissect that one more time, just as to lay a groundwork for where we're going with this teaching. First of all, that word "acknowledges" in the Hebrew is the word yada. Now the reason that that's significant is because yada means to know or intimacy. It's actually the same word used in Genesis 4:25 for sexual union when it said that Adam knew yada, his wife, and she gave birth to a son. Now, what's the point here? The point is this: the key concept for this morning is that our obedience and our passion for God has everything to do with our level of protection, because God's ways are designed to bless you. Did you know that? God's ways are designed to bless you, to protect you, to give you a good life. Now, I'm not saying that you're never going to have challenges when you walk in the Word and obey. Of course, you're going to have challenges and disappointments and things that you have to overcome. You know, you can't be an overcomer without things to overcome. Did you know that? You cannot be an overcomer without having overcome some things. But by the same token, When you follow God's design for your life, follow God's commands, His commands are designed to bless you. Now, I want to make a point about this real quick before we get back to Proverbs 3, and that's this, that Psalm 91 was written to the covenant people of Israel. Now, the reason that that's important is because their part of the covenant was to obey God's laws. And when they did that, they could claim the promises of Psalm 91. Now, I want to make a kind of a strong statement here, but one that I believe is justified. See, if you're not really walking with God closely and endeavoring to obey His commands in every area of your life, Psalm 91, forgive me for being this straightforward with you, this frank with you, but Psalm 91 doesn't really even apply to you. I'll say that again. Psalm 91 doesn't even really apply to you if you're not walking in the Word, obeying the commands of God. See, because again, this was written thousands of years ago during the time of the Old Testament law, and their part, the Israelites' part of that covenant was to obey God's commands. And when they did, they could claim these promises of Psalm 91. So there's a lot of people going around claiming the promises of Psalm 91, but they're not really passionate about God. They're not really obeying His commands to any significant degree. And again, I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but if that's your scenario, Psalm 91 doesn't even apply to you. Because again, let's go back to this passage here. Let me back up. Again, I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He yadahs my name. He has an intimate relationship with me. He seeks to know me. That's the people that Psalm 91 was written to. An example of that would be this, the laws of hygiene. So if I could get just a little bit historical with you for a moment. In the Old Testament, specifically in the book of Numbers, God passed down laws of hygiene to the people of Israel. In other words, you wash up to the elbow before you eat anything. Now, this was given, by the way, thousands of years before germs were even discovered. Germs weren't even discovered. I don't know if you knew this. Germs were not even discovered until about 1890. Did you know that? The first person that proposed the theory of germs, life forms so small that you couldn't see them with the naked eye that were causing illness, they threw that guy in an insane asylum where he died because they thought he was nuts. Okay, now we know this is very, obviously there are germs. Well, that kind of gives you an idea of the divine inspired nature of the Scriptures, that God would tell the ancient people of Israel laws of hygiene to follow long before the world ever even knew about germs. By the way, Moses, who penned the book of Numbers, this is kind of off topic here, but I think it's an interesting point. Moses, who penned the book of Numbers, did you know that he was raised as an Egyptian? And the Egyptians had 300 medical prescriptions that contained dung as the primary ingredient. The Egyptians obviously knew nothing about contagion. They knew nothing about germs. However, God told Moses, pass along to the people these laws of hygiene so they don't get sick with germs and contagion. Is this making sense? So that's an example. When you follow God's laws are always designed to protect you, not to keep you from having fun. God wants to protect you and bless you and keep you from getting sick, keep you from having all kinds of calamity happen in your life. So don't misunderstand the intentions of God toward you. God's intentions toward you are always good. And when He passes down commands and instructions, they're always for your benefit. Even if you don't understand them at the time, they're always for your benefit. I think this story is worth retelling. I told it a couple of weeks ago, but I think it's worth retelling on this point once again as we lay the foundation for this teaching. I heard a story about a lady who had some business downtown at night that she felt like she needed to go take care of, and it was in a bad part of town, and she felt a check in her spirit. That's kind of a churchy word that we use for she had a hesitation that she really wasn't, she knew it was from God deep down. She said, just a check in her spirit, I really shouldn't go down there, but man, I really need to go take care of this. And she felt like the Holy Spirit said, you shouldn't go down there right now. And she just, I guess it was an important thing that she needed to take care of, and she went anyway, and she got mugged at knife point. And then she was like, God, why did this happen to me? I'm a faith person. I believe in promises of Psalm 91. Why did that happen to me? It really traumatized her. And of course, the Holy Spirit reminded her, I told you not to go down there. See, so God's instructions are always for our benefit. So let's move on. We're going to analyze just real quickly Proverbs chapter 3 as it applies to this teaching. I'm taking a little bit of time on this introduction. We're going to get to some other material, but I'm taking a little bit of time laying some groundwork on this introduction. So in Proverbs chapter 3, the verses that we just read, there's a promise in there. And the promise is this, that we would have no fear of sudden disaster. No fear of sudden disaster. But what's the prerequisite? The prerequisite is that we walk in sound judgment. There you go. God gives us His commands, His instructions, so we develop wisdom and sound judgment. And when we do that, folks, it keeps us out of a heap of trouble. Did you know that? When you follow God's commands, it'll keep you out of a bunch of trouble. I'll give you another example. I think I've told this story too, but some of you haven't heard it. There was a young man that lived not too far from here, true story. And he was a young teenager of, I don't know, I think 19 years old. He was hanging out with some buddies one night, and unbeknownst to him, they had a plan that he knew nothing about. He was in the back seat. They stopped off at a convenience store. They all went in and left him in the back seat. While they were in there, they robbed the convenience store, shot the attendant, and killed him. Well, they were all caught, and this young 19-year-old boy who had no idea what the plan was, he was not part of that dirty deed at all. His friends did the dirty deed. He didn't know anything about it. But because he was with them, he was convicted of being an accomplice to the crime, and he went to prison for a long time. Now, see, that's a violation of another biblical concept. The scriptures say that he who walks with the wise becomes wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. I want to say that again. It's a very important point for many of you, especially some of you younger people that haven't learned this by experience yet. He who walks with the wise becomes wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. So that's just another example of how God wants to bless you. God wants to protect you with His commands, not to take away your fun, but to keep you from being damaged, to keep you from having harm come to you. So that's another example of the importance of having this groundwork of knowing the Word and walking in the Word so that Psalm 91 does apply to you. Am I making sense to anybody this morning? Does that make sense? Okay. All right. So now, with that groundwork laid, with that introduction laid, I want to go a little bit of a different direction this morning and talk about a principle that has a very, very encouraging promise associated with it. And that promise is that all may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life upon the earth. Now, those of you that know the Word, you know what I just quoted. I just quoted out of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Let me read the whole thing to you. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life upon the earth. What a promise that is. See, that's a promise of protection right there. God is saying essentially, look, if you'll do this, I'll do this. And there's hardly any other place in the Bible that connects a promise with a command. You know, you parents, a lot of times you know that when you're instructing your children, we've all done it, and sometimes it's actually appropriate to do this. When you pass down a command, an instruction to your child, and they say, why, Mommy? Right? Now, sometimes it's appropriate if they just keep after that. Why, Mommy? Why, Mommy? Because I said so. That's why. You know, that's an appropriate response because your children need to respect your authority. Did you know that? Your children need to respect your authority. So that is an appropriate response. However, having said that, it's also very appropriate to instruct your children and also sometimes say, well, here's why. We don't do this because of this potential consequence, and we do these things because this is right, and you instruct your kids. It's very right, very important to instruct your children. But sometimes if they just keep, you know, badgering you, why, mommy, why? Because I said so, that's why, now do it. Seriously, that's an okay response. If they just keep badgering you, just make them do it. But God here gives us a really, really wonderful enticement to obey this command. If you'll honor your father and mother, you're going to be protected. It will go well with you, and you'll live a long life upon the earth. One of the only places in the Scriptures that gives that kind of promise. So if we want to enjoy the benefits and the promises of Psalm 91 of divine protection, this is one of the principles that we actually have to observe and obey. Now, by the way, before I get too deeply into this, I want to make this qualifying statement. Number one, I know that some of you in the room, your parents are deceased. And so this doesn't seem to maybe apply to you too well. Well, first of all, let me say that for you, you can apply this principle to other elderly people, other people in authority, and same types of benefits will accrue to you when you honor authority and honor the elderly. But also for you folks that have parents that are deceased, and this no longer seems to apply, did you know that the Scriptures teach us that, well, in fact, I'm going to quote Paul, who wrote to the Corinthians. He said, by now, you ought to be teachers yourselves, but I'm having to teach you the elementary principles of the faith all over again. So see, God's desire for us is for us to become teachers as well. A teacher doesn't mean standing up on a platform and addressing a church and teaching like I'm doing now. You can be a teacher and a mentor one-on-one with people. And that's a very, very appropriate thing to do in the church. Women, especially, the Scriptures tell you, women, to take the older women ought to be taking the younger women under your wing and mentoring them. You ought to be teachers. You all need to come to the place of teaching yourselves. So just keep that in mind, those of you that don't have parents that you're able to honor anymore because maybe they're deceased. The other thing that I want to say about that is that I realize that this also presents some troubling emotions for others of you, because you were raised by parents that were not honorable people, that mistreated you, abused you, traumatized you. And I realize that this is a difficult topic to talk about for you because of the negative emotions that this may bring back to the surface. If you'll bear with me, I'm going to teach you how to honor even dishonorable parents, and thus obey these Scriptures and position yourself for the blessing of God and the promises of God, okay? So is that okay? So can I do that? Can you hang with me? This verse, by the way, in Ephesians chapter 6 that we just read, is actually quoting, it makes a quote. This is a side note, by the way. This is referencing Exodus 20, verse 12, out of the Ten Commandments. And one of the Ten Commandments is what? Honor your father and mother, Exodus 20, verse 12. So this is referencing and quoting out of the Old Testament. So I want to make a side note about that, because I've heard from some people in some circles that the Old Testament is totally obsolete because we're no longer under the law anymore. We live under a new covenant, so it makes the Old Testament obsolete. Well, why then, ladies and gentlemen, does the New Testament quote from the Old Testament repeatedly? The New Testament quotes from the Old Testament repeatedly, dozens of times. So I want you to know that even though we don't live under that old covenant anymore, we live under a new covenant, still all of God's Word is important. All of God's Word is relevant to a certain degree. So even though we're not doing like animal sacrifices anymore, still there's things to learn from the Old Testament. So don't discount your Old Testament. Very, very important. Okay, I can't elaborate on that right now, but I want to push forward with this concept about honoring our parents as a way to position ourselves for God's promises of blessing and protection. Amen? So, why should we honor our parents? Well, first of all, because they represent God's authority over us. Did you know that? Did you know God has a hierarchy system that He's put in place? And your parents are part of that hierarchy. God wants us to honor our parents because they represent His authority over us. Likewise, it's God's created order of things. He commands this. And let me ask you this. Does God have the right to tell you what to do? Yeah, He sure does. God has the right to tell you what to do. As your Creator, He has the right to tell you what to do. As your Father, He has the right to tell you what to do. As the person that purchased you out of slavery into the new kingdom, He owns you by right now. If you're in the kingdom, you're serving God. He owns you by right. Therefore, as your Redeemer, He has the right to tell you what to do. So even if this gives you troubled emotions because of what you may have experienced with a parent or parents, God nevertheless has the right to tell you what to do, and we're obligated to obey those things. So this is God's created order of things. He commands it. Also, our parents, if they did nothing else for us, they at least gave us life. It's God's sovereignty that He chose the vessels through which we would enter the world. And maybe you're saying, well, you know what? My parents were drug addicts. Did God ordain that? You know, look, God doesn't ordain calamity like that. He doesn't kill children to teach parents a lesson. He doesn't, you know, blow out somebody's finances to teach them a lesson. Sometimes people get themselves in trouble through their own actions, but a lot of people teach, well, you know, God is going to, you know, strike you with cancer to teach you a lesson. I don't believe that, because He's a good God. Now, there are curses in the world, and sometimes when we come out from under the umbrella of that protection through our own bad choices, then we expose ourselves to the curse in the world. Wish I had time to elaborate on that this morning, but I don't. But you may have been born to drug-addicted parents who were abusive. But you know what? I want to remind you of this. Let's just make the best of what we've been given. Whether you were born on the wrong side of the tracks, the drug-addicted parents, or whether you were born in a nice part of town, just do the best with what you have. God's not going to judge you based upon the person that lives in the million-dollar home. He's going to judge you based upon what you have, what you've been given, and how you use that. Does that make sense? All right, so let me push on. Our parents also instructed us. They cared for our needs. If they just put clothes on your back and food in your belly and roof over your head and that's it, they still cared for our needs. And they're worthy of respect because of that. They also sacrificed for us. Again, even if all they did was put clothes on your back and food in your belly and a roof over your head, they had the sacrifice to do that. And therefore, they're worthy of your honor based upon that. You know, folks, there's a lot of people that have had parents that were very, very difficult and dishonorable parents. And I'm thinking of a young lady. Well, she's not a young lady now, but when she was a young lady, she and her husband, I can't remember their last names at the moment, but they wrote a book on parenting. And she told a story about her dad. Her dad was an alcoholic. And was kind of the town drunk, if you will. I mean, he was very well known for his alcohol problem. Well, she was a very, very good student, and she was asked to present a speech. I think that she graduated as the valedictorian or something really high, and she was chosen to give the speech for her graduation. And as she stood up to give her speech and straightening her robe and preparing to give this very dignified speech, there was a commotion off to her right in the back of the room. Something going on. She couldn't quite tell what it was. And then as this commotion continued, her friend next to her up on stage says, "Look at that drunk man over there." And come to find out, it was her father. Her father did make it to her graduation, but he humiliated her by coming in completely smashed and out of control. But you know what she decided to do? She decided instead of harboring resentment in her heart, she was going to let that go, push forward with her speech, do it to the best of her ability. And then you know what she did after that? Just an 18-year-old girl that did this, that served God, 18 years old, had enough wisdom to make the best of that situation, and she took her father by the hand, this drunk, staggering man, took him by the hand, and took him around and introduced him to all of her favorite teachers. See, that's what honor means. It's not just thinking about yourself. Oh, my parent hurt me so badly. Well, you know, folks, I hate to burst your bubble, but it's not all about you. It's not all about you. It's about other people. And when you can honor even a dishonorable parent, you have done something very, very honorable in God's sight. And He's going to reward you for that. Okay? I want to say that again. When you honor even a dishonorable parent, God is going to reward you for that. He sees that. So let me encourage you with that this morning. Let me just continue on that point for just a moment, if I may. You know, I was raised in a very, very difficult upbringing, as most of you know. And I had to grapple with this whole issue of parental honor pretty early in my life because I had one parent telling me that if I was loyal to my other parent, that I was violating my loyalty to the other parent. Now, I was 6 years old when this all started happening. You know, a child wants to love both of their parents, isn't that right? And when one parent tells a child that if you love that other person, then you're not being loyal to me. How does a 6-year-old process that? So I grew up very dysfunctional and very confused and torn in two directions. And a little child should not have to deal with those sorts of things. So I grew up, as I got older in my teenage years, my early 20s, especially in my later 20s when I was really serving the Lord, then I had to grapple with this parental honor thing and really began to understand it doesn't matter what one parent or the other did, or even what is being whispered in my ear by one parent about ostracizing the other parent. What does the Word of God say? What does the Word of God say? And so I had to stake my claim in spite of what was being told me. I had to stake my claim on what the Word of God said, and I tried to build bridges between my siblings, all of who had drawn battle lines. I come from a family of 7 children, and we all drew up these battle lines and chose sides. And I was trying to build bridges. No, look, we need to honor our parents regardless of what they've done. We need to forgive them and honor them. And I fought that battle for quite some time. It's just something that the Lord put in my heart early in life that parental honor is extremely, extremely important. So I want to read to you out of Matthew Henry's commentary on Genesis 20:12, which is one of the 10 commandments, honor your father and mother. Matthew Henry's commentary is quite old now, but it's still relevant for our time. Let's listen to what he says as he expounds upon what honor really means as it pertains to parents. All right. So honoring parents means a decent respect toward them, an inward esteem of them outwardly expressed upon all occasions in our conduct toward them. Fear them. In other words, show an awesome respect for them according to Leviticus 19:3 and give them reverence according to Hebrews 12:9. The contrary to this is mocking at them and despising them. And I'll quote Proverbs 30:17 on that point just here in a moment. Now, before I continue reading in Matthew Henry's commentary, I want to give you a quote that I found on the internet that I couldn't find who said it, but it's still a very, very appropriate quote. So listen to this very carefully, especially you young people, if you're still in the house, under your parents' authority, listen to this very, very carefully. Look at the screen. How sinful are those youth who speak gently to their friends while they shout at their mothers or fathers. I want to say that again. How sinful are those youth who speak gently to their friends while they shout at their mothers? I couldn't agree more. Let me continue reading out of Matthew Henry's commentary for just another moment or two here. Honor to parents also means obedience to their lawful commands, especially if you're still living at home. As expounded upon in Ephesians 6:1-3, children, obey your parents. Come when they call you, go where they send you, do what they bid you, and refrain from what they forbid you, and do this cheerfully in an attitude of love. The scriptures say, do everything without grumbling and complaining. Do everything without grumbling and complaining. He goes on, inclining to their advice, direction, and consent, and seeking their approval. And he goes on to say, submit to their rebukes, instructions, and corrections, and do this not only to the good and gentle parent, but also to the stubbornly contrary and disobedient parent out of conscience toward God. Out of conscience toward God. Not because they necessarily deserve it. If you were raised by abusive parents, they may not necessarily deserve your honor. That's not the point. The fact that you honor them in spite of their dishonorable behavior can lead them to Christ. On that note, let me give you another story. There was a young man who had married a wife, and he had only been married a few months. His father was very, very troubled. One day, his mother and his new wife was in their house while he was away. And while they were fellowshipping and enjoying some time together, this man, this father, came in with a gun and murdered both women. The young man's mother, gone in an instant. His brand new wife, gone in an instant. His father had taken everything from him. He had every right, humanly speaking, to despise this man. But this young man knew the Lord. And not just knew the Lord, he knew the Lord passionately. Do you know how he responded to the murder of his wife and his mother? He went to the prison and visited and ministered to his father regularly, letting him know how much he loved him, letting him know how much Jesus loved him, and eventually led that man to the Lord. It took a while. This hardened criminal with obviously some terrible problems eventually came to the Lord because of the love and forgiveness that was shown to him. Because, folks, listen, can I say something really, really honest to you today? Not that I haven't been honest prior to now. You know, I always like that saying, honest. You know, as if they haven't been honest prior to now. Anyway, let me say something very, very important about that. You know, regardless of how terrible your parents may have acted, the mistakes they may have made, let me speak especially to you young parents, you young men and women with little children. Let me say this to you. You are going to make mistakes with your children. Count on it. Why? Because you're imperfect. Now, I would hope that your children give you the same grace that perhaps you gave your own parents, provided you did give your parents grace. I hope your children give you the same grace when you make mistakes as God has given you when you violated every command in the book, smashed His law to 1,000 pieces. Yeah, our parents made mistakes. Our parents violated us. But you're going to violate your kids sometimes. You're going to make mistakes. So therefore, we need to just give our parents who made mistakes a break. Right? Right? Because you're going to make mistakes with your children. You're going to make, probably at times, terrible mistakes. And you want the same grace given to you that God, by your children, that God has given to you. God has been very gracious to each one of us. We need to pass on that grace to our parents, sometimes our parents have terrible problems. They didn't know better. They didn't know any better. They made mistakes because they didn't know any better. If they would have known better, listen, if they would have known better, they would have done better. I'm going to say that again. If they would have known better, they probably would have done better. So we just need to extend the same grace that's been given to us by our Lord and Savior. So again, this whole idea about honoring parents has no escape clause. In other words, God doesn't say, honor your parents as long as they were honorable people. He says, honor them, period. This is my command. But if you do it, I'm going to give you a blessing. Okay? So, again, when we honor even dishonorable parents, or when we honor dishonorable bosses, pastors, politicians, police officers, etc., we pass an important test because God often tests us with authority. Did you know that? God often tests people with authority. So when you honor a dishonorable parent, police officer, pastor, boss, etc., you pass an important test. Okay, so let me read one more quote out of Matthew Henry's commentary, then we're going to push on here. So he also says about parental honor, endeavoring in everything to be the comfort of their parents and to make their old age easy to them, maintaining them as if they stand in need of support, which our Savior makes to be particularly intended in this command, supporting elderly parents. Let me read this to you. Again, I couldn't find the source of this quote, but I thought it was a good one. Respect your elders. Learn from people who have walked the path before you. Respect them because someday, and sooner than you could ever imagine, you are going to be old too. Isn't that a profound statement? Think about that. Respect your elders. Learn from people who have walked the path before you. Respect them because someday and sooner than you could ever imagine, you're going to be old too. Now, I want to give some kudos to some people here about how I have observed secondhand your behavior where honoring your parents is concerned. I think there are a few of you that really need to be honored this morning for what I have observed and how proud I am, and certainly how proud God is, of what I've seen in our church about parental honor. I'm going to start with Sean and Abby. You know, I was involved in that process as Sean and Abby took care of their invalid mother as she was going through that terrible illness before she passed away recently. And I was very, very impressed by how much love was bestowed upon her and how good they took care of her. And so God honors that, Sean and Abby. God honors that. God's pleased with that. I also want to give kudos to Matt Cooley, because as we were getting this room prepared, this building prepared to start having services here, Matt worked very, very hard in here, was in here for hours and hours, and his dad, who was an electrician, came in and helped out. And, you know, Matt, like many of us, was not raised in the best of circumstances. Matt had a pretty hard upbringing. And, you know, there's some hurts that were inflicted on him growing up. But you know what? Matt, I just was very impressed as I watched the interaction, because he treated his dad with utmost respect and gentleness. And when they parted ways, he made sure to say, "Dad, I love you." And actually, on one occasion, said it twice, "Dad, I love you," before he left. And I was so impressed by that, and I was so blessed by that, because Matt could hold grudges in his heart toward the people in his past that hurt him and caused him to have a great amount of mental baggage that he's had trouble getting over. But where his dad was concerned, he just showed great amount of honor to him. And I was really, really blessed by that. It's one thing to honor parents who have always done everything right or close to it. It's another thing to honor parents who have made bad mistakes and you've been collateral damage of those bad mistakes. I also want to point out one other person, and that's Gina Cole. And Gina Cole has spent the last few years of her life looking after elderly parents in a way that I don't think any nurse could do. And Gina, can I say something directly to you, Gina? I was in prayer this morning very early before the sun came up, just praying for the service, and God told me to tell you something. He said that He sees. And He sees the lonely times, the times where you sacrificed without any evidence that you were going to get anything back from those sacrifices. God sees those times, sees those lonely times, sees those unappreciated times. He says He is very pleased with what you've done for your parents, and there is a reward laid up for you. Amen. So I just want you to know that, Gina. God wants you to know that. So Gina has worked very hard behind the scenes, no accolades to herself, took care of her parents. They're both gone now. She sacrificed a lot, folks. I mean, sacrificed other relationships, just didn't have much of a social life or fellowship with the church much because she was taking care of both of these parents. And so that's what we're talking about. Laying down her own agenda, taking up her cross and following Christ, and doing what needs to be done.
I think I lost my battery in my... Yeah, the battery's gone. So I'm just going to transition to the handheld. I like this quote by Robert H. Goddard, who said this, "Resolve to be tender with the young, compassionate with the aged, sympathetic with the striving, and tolerant with the weak and the wrong. Sometime in your life, you will have been all of these." Think about that. Resolve to be tender with the young, compassionate with the aged, sympathetic with the striving, and tolerant with the weak and wrong. Sometime in your life, you will have been all of these. So let me come down home stretch here by giving you a little bit more from the Word. Proverbs 23:22. "Listen to your father who gave you life. Do not despise your mother when she is old." And I'm going to give you a really hard-hitting one right here. Listen very closely to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, which says this, "You must understand this, that in the last days, distressing times will come. For people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents." Isn't it interesting how it includes that sin in with several other sins that are very, very, very bad stuff? "Ungrateful, unholy, inhuman, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutes, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to the outward form of godliness but denying its power. Avoid them." Avoid people like that. And then a question that I want you to grapple with, the choice is yours to walk in blessing or curses. And I want to read you this passage out of Deuteronomy 27 very quickly. It says this, "Cursed is the one who makes a carved or molded image, an abomination to the Lord. Cursed is the one who treats his father or mother with contempt." Now, some of these, because of mixed company, I actually had to change the description a little bit because it's so graphic. It goes on to say, "Cursed is the one who commits bestiality. Cursed is the one who commits incest. Cursed is the one who takes a bribe to slay an innocent person." Why did I want to include that? Because God mixes in together, "Cursed is the one who treats his father or mother with contempt." A person who treats his father or mother with contempt is in the same category as one who commits bestiality and incest. That's how serious it is to God. It's not serious to the culture that we live in, because we live in a culture that practices dishonor. It's nothing now to dishonor a police officer, to dishonor our political people, to dishonor a pastor, to dishonor a mother and a father who gave you life. That's nothing for people these days, but God takes it very, very seriously. It goes on in Proverbs 30, verse 17, which says, "The eye that mocks a father, that scorns obedience to a mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vultures." Now, that's not necessarily literally, but that's a figurative description of this is really bad, and you want to avoid this. I want to say a word to parents here. Parents, listen, if you allow your children to disrespect you, you are contributing to their rebellion. Gosh, you can hear a pin drop right now. If you are allowing your children to disrespect you, you are contributing to their rebellion, and God's going to hold you accountable for that. See, it's more important to teach kids the virtue of honoring their parents than it is to be your children's friend. You can't be your children's friend all the time. Sometimes you've got to be the mama. You've got to be the daddy. You've got to lay down the law sometimes. And that's not always going to make your children happy with you. Okay? But you've got to be the authority in your home. And if you don't do that, you're contributing. Listen, there's another verse in Proverbs that says, if you fail to discipline your children, you hate them. Why does it say that? Because you're setting them up for failure. If you don't discipline your kids, you're setting them up for failure, folks. So you're contributing to their rebellion. You're contributing to their failure if you fail to discipline them. Okay, I'm just going to give you, as we start to draw to a close here, ways to honor your parents. There's some practical applications in honoring your parents. First of all, you honor them in your speech. Always speak to parents respectfully. No tones of voice that communicate disrespect. Be respectful to them in body language. What's that mean? Well, here's disrespectful body language. Your mom or your dad says something to you or gives you instruction and you do this. Okay, whatever. That's extremely disrespectful. That's extremely disrespectful. Or here's another one. And this is a disrespect in general, but it's something that our society does now. So your mom and dad is talking to you, trying to give you wisdom, and the kid's looking down at their cell phone. They won't even make eye contact with mom and dad. They're looking down at their cell phone. They're reading a text the whole time that their mom and dad is talking to them. You know what you should do, parents, seriously, when your kids do that? Take that cell phone and put it in a safe for a week. And that'll teach the kids real fast. I don't do that. When mom and dad's talking to me, I make eye contact. I listen with my eyes and my ears. And by the way, just in general, not just with parents, folks, listen, we live in a very disrespectful society these days. If you're talking to anybody, not just your parents, and you're looking down at your cell phone the entire time that somebody is trying to talk to you, that's extremely disrespectful. You listen with your eyes as well as your ears. Okay? No one wants to be, quote, listened to while somebody's distracted doing something else. Listen, have you ever been talking to somebody and you're trying to talk to them, and then all of a sudden, right in the middle of you talking to them, they start turning and talking to somebody else right in the middle? Isn't that frustrating? It's very frustrating. It's disrespectful. It's disrespectful to you. The same thing with cell phones. Cell phones serve an important purpose, but they can be very, very disrespectful as well. Okay, let me push on with this. Obedience. If you live in your parents' home, you need to be a person of obedience. Obey your parents, obey them quickly, and obey them with a good attitude. Talk about your parents in an honoring way when they're not present. Okay? When they're not present, honor them. And also be a help to them. Make their lives easier. Look for ways to assist them and make their lives easier. And also stay connected to them. Stay connected. Don't avoid them. When you move away, don't avoid your parents. Continue to have relationship with them. And you be the one that initiates contact with them and reaches out to them. Don't always be waiting for your parents to call you. You reach out and you initiate contact. And then also, of course, listen to them. Listen to their counsel. Now, I realize that we've not always done all this right. None of us in the room, including myself, have done this right. So we have some things to repent for. Now, if this teaching this morning has convicted you, I want to encourage you as we end here that it's never too late to start. Even if your parents are deceased, it's never too late to start by giving honor to other people's parents. Honor to your elders. Honor to the people in authority over you. So Acts 3, verses 19 through 20 says, "Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." So remember, in the context of divine protection, one of the most fundamental commands to obey if you want things to go well with you is to honor your parents. It's a topic that doesn't seem to be related to Psalm 91, but it absolutely is. Honor your parents. And of course, the honor of parents must begin with the honor of God. See, you're not going to be inspired to obey this and honor your parents, probably, not to the extent that you could be inspired, if you're not first honoring God and have a desire to honor God. And it could be that some of you here this morning have not been living God-honoring lives. You've been living lives that are lukewarm. You've been living lives that are compromising, if you're even in the faith at all. I mean, you could be totally backslidden. I don't know. I don't know all of you in the room today. And I just want to give you an opportunity to do something about that today. I just feel like that we need to end with just a little bit of ministry time this morning, because as I've been talking, you know, our culture is so steeped in dishonor and disrespect that probably none of us here in this room have not violated the principles that I've talked to you about this morning. And if that's the case, I really want us to consider repenting before the Lord right now. And again, for some of you, this may present raw emotions because you may have recognized, Lord, man, I didn't do things right. Now my parents are gone. I can't make this right. Well, maybe you can't make it right with them, but you can make it right with Him. And start afresh today. Repent, therefore, that times of refreshing may come. It's never too late. If you got breath in your body, folks, it's never too late to start again. So I'd like for you to stand with me. I'm just going to pray a prayer, and I'm going to pray a prayer on behalf of all of us this morning. And if you identify with this prayer, just pray it with me. Sometimes it's difficult to even articulate what we're feeling. So I'm going to take us through a little exercise. There's nothing magical about it. It's just a way to kind of release any unforgiveness or bitterness that we've had toward our parents and to receive God's forgiveness for the things that we've done wrong that have dishonored not only our parents, but also in the process, dishonored God. So I'd like you to do this. Close your eyes with me. And those of you that have been hurt, suffered, being violated by your parents, do this. Again, this is just a little exercise, nothing magical about it, but I want you to hold out your hand right now with your palm up. Picture in your palm all the offenses that were committed against you by your parents. Maybe some of you, the abuse even went so far as sexual abuse. What a terrible, terrible thing to have to experience at the hands of a parent. Horrible. But God sees that. He wants to heal that wound. But the only way it can really be healed is for you to let go of it. You know, someone said that holding on to bitterness towards someone is like drinking poison, hoping the other person will die. And all it does is hurt you. Picture those offenses in the palm of your hand right now. And if you really are serious with God this morning, that you want to get rid of those things, would you now hold that palm up to heaven, present those offenses before God, and say, Lord, I want to be rid of these things. Would you take these offenses? Because I want to give them to you. I don't want to deal with them anymore. And just kind of like open your palm and just give them to Him. Again, nothing magical about that. That's just kind of a physical way to express what's going on in our hearts. That we release our parents and forgive them for the mistakes that they have made. And now I'd like us to pray a prayer of forgiveness toward us, toward ourselves. Because in holding grudges against our parents and mistreating them, we ourselves have committed grievances against God. And many times this is the very reason why things don't go well with people, why they don't live long lives upon the earth, why terrible things do come upon them, because they're exposed to the curse that's in the world. So if you really mean this, I'd like to just lead you in a prayer. And you can just repeat after me if this applies to you and if you mean it. Father God, I know that I have not done everything right. I know that there's many things that have been done to me, but I've done many things to other people, including my parents. And I'd like to ask you to forgive me for the sins that I've committed against my parents, with the way that I've treated them, with the way that I've spoken to them, and the grudges that I've held against them. Father, please also forgive me for the offenses that I've committed against you for violating your commands along these lines. And now, Lord, I want my heart to be clean before you this morning. And I ask you to wipe this slate clean with your precious blood And if your parents are still alive today, this next part's for you. And Father, with your help, I endeavor to go forward today and live a life that's honoring to you in all areas, but especially where my parents are concerned. We're not quite done yet. I just feel like, just keep your eyes closed. I want to make one more comment. You know, for those of you that have had such terrible experiences with families, and maybe you're a female, and maybe you've been sexually assaulted by a father or an uncle or a family member, did you know that you can still honor, ladies, you can still honor that kind of parent, but yet we need to apply some wisdom and not put yourself in harm's way either. So let's apply some wisdom. I believe that God wants me to tell you that. It's okay for you to keep kind of an arm's length relationship with a person that would perhaps still do you harm and still honor them. Call them on the phone. Tell them how much you love them. Send them Christmas cards. Send them birthday cards. Even invite them out to lunch in a public place. You don't ever go to a private place with someone who could possibly do harm to you. You still have to apply wisdom. But still forgive that person, minister to them, minister the love of God to them, show them how much you love them, and appreciate what little they may have done for you. And that could be a way that they come into the kingdom as well, as they see the love of God, the forgiveness of Christ demonstrated toward them when they know they're wrong, they know they're messed up.
You've been listening to the teaching ministry of Pastor Andy Robbins and Blessed Life Fellowship. For more teaching and ministry resources, go to the church website at www.blessedlifefellowship.org. Thanks for listening, and may God's grace and favor shine on you.